week doing certain things, whatever our jobs, agendas, ministry, whatever, and here we are gathered together. You know, on our previous Torah portions, you know, they were always gathered together, and it wasn't just a select few that was under a command. It was all of Yisrael. When we're to come on Shabbat, it's all of Yisrael. When we get grafted into the Yeshua, we fall underneath His commands and His rule of His Father, and that's where we're supposed to be. Wherever we are, ministering somewhere, our pastors are somewhere, they're Shabbatting today. Today we're Shabbatting. It's the seventh day, and we're commanded to Shabbat together. And in our previous Torah portions, we got certain individuals that want to do their own thing. They wanted to revert to that thing that we're always having to deal with all week long, is called the flesh. We start thinking our own thinking and doing what we think is best, or, you know, our feelings and what we may think. And they came against the Torah. And it put themselves all by themselves somewhere and brought them right back where we came from. We came out the world where it was really dark, gloomy, and to us in the world, it seemed easy. It really seems easy out there. And even being underneath the umbrella, underneath Yeshua, it still seems like they got it easier. But it's upside down. The flesh makes you think it's easy, but He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You know, those guys, Korah, Balaam, Balaam, Cain, they all rejected, and it blinded them to the truth, and they thought they were on the right side when they were on the wrong side, and it became destructive to them. Now, learning in the Torah is a two-edged sword. It's got two sides to it. It's got the side that gives you life, it gives you peace, it gives you tov, it gives you tov, good. It's peace and harmony, shalom, it's perfect. It never changes. But then it's got the other side to it that's very destructive. And that's what the flesh combined with Hasatan does. It's trickery. It's deception. It seems right. We talked about this in the last couple of Torah portions. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it's in his death. And that's what the flesh thinks. It thinks it's easier over there. It's easier, but it's not. It's twisted. It's upside down. That side over there, the Torah comes against, and I'll go through those scriptures today. We went through last night a little bit, depending on how much time we have. But it says it destroys. It destroys those that are against it and break it. It's death. It's destruction. It's disease. It turns us back to dust. But how many know when we fell underneath the umbrella and we were betrothed by Yeshua, all those things that were against us went towards Him, and He buried it in the flesh. So us being turned back to dust, and don't get me wrong, we're still going to go back to dust, but there's a Corinthians 15 that says, though you die, when He comes and the trumpet sounds, you will raise from the dead. But that comes with obedience to His Torah and doing what He says. If you do what I say, you'll have life and peace. But if you don't do what I say, it's just like Linda said a little while ago. If you cut yourself off, and it's your decision, nobody made you do it, if you pull yourself from underneath the umbrella, which is life and peace, you go back into the world, which is darkness and destruction, and the Torah comes against you. Just like Nadab and Abihu, they came in with the wrong thing, and the Torah was highly against it, and it recognized it, and the fire that comes through the Torah and Yehovah burned them up. The flesh will lead us in the wrong direction. How many know we got leaders in this house? We have Pastor Jesse that's under Yeshua. He set him here for a reason. And he come with the word that He gives us by His Spirit. And when He says there's times to be certain places, to do certain things, He means it. Well, they got those like Korah and like Balaam and different ones that say, hey, you know, the flesh will get you veered off thinking, you know, maybe that's a little too much. Or maybe I really shouldn't be doing that. And it'll veer you off in a direction you shouldn't be. And the flesh will make it sound good. And Hasatan will come on in and he'll really make it look and sound really good. We talked about that in another Torah portion about the snake. It hisses before it strikes. It hisses before it strikes. It hisses before it strikes. And when it strikes you with the venom, just like that little rat I did for a demonstration, there's a snake in a glass box. And they come with that little white rat, little innocent rat, and put him in there, and he goes up to the snake. He don't know what the snake is. And the snake says, oh, this is food. And he strikes the rat. The rat don't know what just happened until all of a sudden he's all in delusion. He falls on his back. And then he's prayed to the enemy. When you go give in to your flesh, a way that seems right to a man, and then the enemy comes in and adds on to it. You know, Yehovah left something out, Eve. Yehovah left something out, you know. He left something out. And then you give in to the flesh, you give in to Hasatan. He strikes you, and then you're blind. You're right back in the world of destruction and the Torah is against you. It's for you or it's against you, depending on what you decide. Everybody has their own will and their own decisions to make. And the Torah, it is demanding. It's demanding. And we was in the world destined for death, never to return again. We didn't come in. When I was out there in the world, I didn't all of a sudden just come up with something in my mind. Hey, let's go to church today. Yeshua come over there like he did with, like Elijah did with Elisha. He threw the mantle. He threw the mantle at him because Yehovah told him to. He listened to the Father. Yeshua comes and he said, hey, throw the mantle. Look at Chad over there. He's in a spot right now. I'm going to show him something. So Yeshua says, I want to show you something. You think that's easy? But it's not the easy way. I got a better way for you. My yoke is easy. That's not easy. That's tough over there. It seems right. We get out there, we get into jobs and the businesses, and it's reflected all around us in the world. That's why we have Shabbat. Yehovah knew what he was doing when he said, on the seventh day, you got to find rest for your mind and everything out of there because it's too much. Look, I wear these zitzits. When I go all week long at the end of the week wearing these in the wind, they look worn out. These are fairly new right now, but I'm at the end of the fringes. You could tell that it's been through something all week. We can't kid ourselves in the flesh thinking we're okay, we can miss one. We don't have to go. It's a little too much. Wednesday, Friday. He's saying, I'm giving it to you this like this because it's for a reason, because I love you. I love you. You need my Torah. You need Yeshua. And you need the Spirit. You have to have these because your mind's going to wander. Before you know it, you get snake bitten and you'll be gone. Just like many, many that's here, not here anymore. They're gone. Somewhere's in there and we're playing around, listening to the flesh, not paying attention, reverting to what the Spirit's saying. Don't do that. Don't do that. And there's many times that I've gotten a spot thinking in the flesh again and my heart feels like it's being squished. Can anybody relate to that? It feels like it's being squished in the Torah. The Spirit's telling you, you just said something wrong to somebody. Don't take offense to it. You just said wrong. If somebody did you something wrong and you didn't do anything, you take offense to it. This week, I started to take offense to things. And I said, wait, you're just as wrong as the other. It's not against you. It's against Yehovah. If I take this into my own, you offended me, then I'm back in the flesh again from underneath the cover. And guess what? I'm in trouble. I'm in control of it. I'm not supposed to be in control of this thing. I'm supposed to let Yehovah lead my life. Yeshua lead my life. And so repentance, get back underneath Yeshua and say, I'm sorry, I repent for being offensive. And whoever had aught against me, I forgive it. Please protect them, Yehovah. I love them. I thank you for them, Father. Whatever it is I've said or they've done. And it gets you right back under Yeshua. And the Torah is no more against you anymore. It's for you. And it's giving you life and peace. So that's what the Torah is. It's understanding Yah's likes and dislikes. And I have so much. I kind of feel what Pastor's been trying to explain. You have so much bundled in you. You just want to open it all up and explode with it. But there's just so much there. We'd be here for days. And so I just listening to the Father said, Father, there's so much that could be said. I said, I'm going to put my mind on the side. And I ask you, Father, to just remind me. Just like Pastor says. So I'm working at this. There's an art to it. It takes time. It takes listening and patience. And as you dig and you research and you're like, man, it takes away from your time of what you like to do. And then when you start doing that, you start finding out what he is really like. And he starts showing you things. And it's like that Pictionary game. Or when we used to play that game with the cards, Go Fish. You open up one, you thought it was the other one, not that one. And you go to the next one, you open up, oh, there it is. You remember in Pictionary. So I'm going through this Torah portion in Matot tribes, and there's going to be talking about vows. And I got into the second part of the Torah portion because there's two Torah portions together in one, Matot and Maseh, and the journeys. And so I'm going through the whole thing. I just got there and I said, you know what, before I even look over the slides, I'm going to go to Numbers chapter 30 to 32, and then the next one is 33 to 36. And so I read through them all, and you start recognizing places and names that you remember from the last Torah portion. We're going to get into this next Torah portion of Maseh, and it talks about Reuben and Gad. Reuben and Gad decided we don't want to cross over the Jordan. We want to stay on this side and get lands here. Well, it was against what Yehovah was telling them. And so I start reading these things, and I don't have the time to get into that all that discussion. But when you start seeing the places that they wanted to stay in those names, and you start going through the Torah portion, then it starts bringing up where they went and where they stopped. They went and they stopped. And there's names of places, and it brings you back all the way, and it says, and they stopped in Shittim. Well, we just went through Shittim, the land of Moab and the Moabites, over in the last Torah portion. So it's like Pictionary. You're like, oh, wow, I remember that. And then you start seeing all these things, but you can't quite put some of them together yet. But sooner or later down the line, He's going to put them together and show us what they really mean and what they're all about. There's a lot of things I don't understand. Even going to learn this Torah portion, there were some things that we used to believe that were said about something in there, that it changed it because it never. The Torah was highly against the sacrifice of children. You know, so we're going to get into this and talk about this a little bit. Like, wow, this changes some things. So the way I used to think before, it changes my mind, lets me look at reality of it and like, oh, wow, that's what it really says. And I'm okay with it. I'm excited with it because it fits now. Before, it was contrary to it. And it kind of bothered me at first, but I just went along with what I was seeing, what I was reading. But the whole time, we was assuming because it never said that. It's amazing how in churches, you could say one word and believe what somebody says. And if you don't go back and look at its original Hebrew meaning of what it really means and just look at a translated error sometimes, we could believe a whole different thing of what it's saying and believe it with all our heart and cry over it, and it's not what he said. So before we get into the Torah portion, we talked last night about let's just break up the ground a little bit. We've been in a whole week. It's the sixth day, fixing to get into the seventh day. It was evening. I said, let's just talk about some things of the flesh. Let's go through some things. We talked about Elijah. Talk about making vows. This Torah portion is about making vows. When we make a vow, and it gets rough, there's no time to back out of the vow. And that's why it's so important that we get into the Torah and we start learning from Yeshua what we're supposed to do now, because the crisis ain't here yet. The trouble ain't here. The tribulation ain't here yet. You know, I was thinking about it this morning. The Father reminded me of tornadoes, because we just come through an area. We was on our way to going through Alabama on the way to Indiana, and it got black. And I wasn't looking at the weather. And so I popped up my weather app, and it was red streak clean across the whole board of Alabama. There was no way to get around it. It was like stop and find a hotel and hide, or just go through it, and we could see the lightning is black. And so we prayed about it. And so we're just going to go to the other side. We prayed about it, was good about it. And we got through there, it was pretty black. But it started, I'm used to being in the ocean land, you know, with the boats, and look at, and I can judge that pretty easily. But I can't judge tornadoes. I'm not from around that area. I don't know what to look for. So I prayed about it and asked the Father about it. And I was reminded this morning about tornadoes, because it really brings a pounding in your heart. You really don't want to get caught in a tornado. They're pretty big. And there's nowhere to run. I've seen videos of people hiding underneath bridges to escape, but there's nowhere to go. And so I was thinking about there's houses up there that have basements. And the Father said, when the storm, the tornado's coming, you go run for that basement and get in. You don't get out. You stay in there till it's passed. Well, how many know sometimes the flesh will make you fear and afraid and do crazy, silly things? So if you're not paying attention to the Torah and you're in the flesh during the week, you might say or do something that's contrary to him, because the flesh is enemies. It's enmity against Yehovah. You'll panic and you'll fear. You know, when Yeshua was laying in the boat sleeping, they kind of panicked and feared. It kind of told on them what they knew and what they didn't know and where they were. It kind of shows forth what you are. So you get in that basement and you hide. And just suppose there's a whole family in there. And then one of the guys or ladies that's in that basement says, you know what? I don't like being in here. I think it's better if we just get out of there. And they said, you're losing your mind. You need to calm down. Just stay still. Be quiet and wait till it passes. But the flesh will make you start thinking and doing things that maybe are out of the ordinary. And what if that person says, I just can't stay in here. I got to get out. I'm claustrophobic. And opens the door and goes out and there's the tornado. Boom. You're gone. And that's the same way when the tribulations of this world is going to come upon us. If we're not really living and have righteousness on us and be living what he says and just kind of keeping it as a knowledge but not really doing it, when it comes, your flesh is going to cause you to fear. You're going to think the way you used to think, just like the world does. You're going to panic, look for somebody, ask somebody. You're going to make a bad decision, a bad choice, and you're going to go the wrong way. And the storm's going to take you away. And that's exactly what he's trying to tell us. Get all that you can get. Learn all you can learn and put it on and be obedient to it. So in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21, talking about vow and vows. And he went from there and found Elisha, talking about Elijah, son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12. And Elihu passed by him and threw his robe on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elihu and said, please, let me kiss my father and mother, and then I'll follow you. And he said to him, go turn back, for what have I done to you? And he turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and cooked their flesh using the implements of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he rose up and followed Elihu and became his servant. Those oxen right there was everything of his job. That's how he was making produce to make his living. He slaughtered it all. It was kind of like, you know what, where I am right now, I got to pick up, let it all go. Kind of reflects on mother, father, sister, brother, you let it all go for my sake to follow me. And that's what he did. And he followed Elijah. And that's what it says right there. He vowed a vow that day to not look back. He cooked all his oxen, everything that was his workplace, and he left it all to follow him. So that was a vow. Then you go to Mark chapter 10, verse 20 through 30, 28 through 30. And Kepha began to say to him, see, we have left all we have. You see the parallel? You see what's happening in the Torah and the prophets? You see what's happening now with the disciples? He says, we have left all and we have followed you. And Yeshua said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers, sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for the sake of me and the Besorah, the good news, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, everlasting life. You leave in one from destruction to come to one with everlasting life. And it's not easy. It's not easy letting go of things that we used to do and families and friends and loved ones. It gets to being a lonely life sometimes. Yeshua had it lonely most of the time. He was lonely. But yet he had his father he looked up to all the time. That's what his confidence was, and that's what his confidence is today. He believed and trusted him. He stood to the promises, and he didn't veer back. He didn't look back. And that's what we're going to have to learn when we vow vows. When it gets tough, we're going to go through some tough times. We're going to get disgruntled with each other. Ain't no doubt. We're going to go through some tough times. But what Yehovah is looking for is the vow. Oh, are you going to stay? Or are you going to go? If you're in your flesh a lot, you're more than likely going to go because that's what you love. You love the flesh. He that loves the flesh is enmity against Yehovah. It has no life of peace and it's selfish. It's rude. It's ugly. But on the other hand, it says if you follow me and you keep doing what I say, stay to the vow, stay, you continually have life. We talked about last night, if you take a branch on a tree and you cut it off, you sever it off and you drop it on the ground, if you come back the next day, it's not going to have pretty green leaves on it anymore. It's going to be all withered up. So we're under Yeshua and obeying the rules of the house. And all of a sudden we get disgruntled, we have things that happen, we get from underneath those rules, that branch gets cut off, it starts withering. You want to stay underneath there, you don't want to wither away. So that's what he's looking for, somebody to stay true to his word and his vow. No matter how tough it gets, how rough it gets, you stay. And you'll see the residual effect if you stay. In Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, and it came to be, as they journeyed on the way, that someone said to him, Master, I shall follow you wherever you go. And Yeshua said to him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the heavens of the heaven nest. But the son of Adam has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, Follow me. And he said, Master, let me first go bury my father. And Yeshua said to him, Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and announce the reign of Elohim. And another also said, Master, I shall follow you, but let me first say goodbye to those in my house. But Yeshua said to him, No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the reign of Elohim. There's nothing in the world for us. We're dead in the world, dead in our trespasses. So we come out. And like I talked about last Shabbat, we come out, you hold the light of life for people that are around us. And we go out there and we live the light of life. But what do we have for people if there's no light in us when we're out there for them to see? That's what we look like when we're out there. There's no light. There is no light in us at all. We fool ourselves and fooling the people around us. It says in Romans chapter 8, this is the big one. Romans chapter 8. And where they get all this from? We get it from the Torah. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. There is then now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yeshua. There's no condemnation. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the Torah of the Spirit of the life and Messiah Yeshua has set me free from the Torah. You see it right there? From the Torah of sin and death. So there's two sides of the sword, the Torah. There's a part of it that's destroying. There's a part of it that's giving life. For the Torah being powerless in that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim, having sent his own son in the likeness of flesh of sin, and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the Torah should be complete in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the matters of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the matters of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity, or is enemies towards Elohim. For it does not subject itself to the Torah of Elohim. Neither indeed is able to. You know, there's a lot of times that my mind tells me there's other things that I could feel better doing rather than read my Torah. But when I get there and I discipline myself to read my Torah and I start reading and getting into it, it starts giving me oil in my lamp to keep my lamp burning. And all of a sudden my eyes are open to real. And this is what becomes reality more easier when I start doing what he says. But the other way, it leads you down a wrong path. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Elohim dwells in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Messiah, this one is not his. And if Messiah is in you, the body is truly dead on account of sin. But the Spirit is life on account of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Messiah from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit dwelling in you. So then, brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall truly live. So when he said to me, if you do what I say and do this, on that day when the trumpet sounds, surely I'll raise you from the dead. That is a vow that he avowed, and I vow unto him and believe it. And no matter what happens through the course of time, I stay that state because I know I'm going to be raised from the dead and I'm going to live. And if I deviate from this course, I'm going to die. So that becomes a done deal. No matter what happens from here to there, if I stay true to the vow, this is where I'm going to end up. And so it makes you want to stay true to the word and stay out of the flesh. First Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. For I do not wish you to be ignorant, brothers, for that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Automatically, what are you thinking about when you start reading this? The Torah, because that's where it's reflecting to. If you don't know anything about the Torah from Matthew, right, you have no idea what he's talking about. You know, you at best you can guess, but it's better to read the book from the beginning and then go all the way to the end. You'll know what it's talking about. There's many scriptures we went through in the Brit Hadishah last week, that brought up Balaam. How are you going to know what they're talking about in Balaam if you never went back to Numbers and read about who Balaam is? You got to go back to the beginning. You see why the Torah is so important? So those that are saying to do away with the Torah, I be careful of that because you're going to bring yourself to your own destruction. For I do not wish you to be ignorant, brothers, that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were immersed in Moshe in the cloud in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed and the rock was Messiah. However, with most of them, Elohim was not pleased. For they were laid low in the wilderness. And these became examples for us, so that we should not lust after evil as those indeed lusted. And do not become idlers as some of them, as it has been written. The people sat down to eat and to drink, stood up to play. Neither should we commit whoring as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Neither let us try Messiah as some of them also tried and were destroyed by serpents, neither grumble as some of them also grumbled and were destroyed by the destroyer. And all these came upon them as examples, and they were written as a warning to us, on whom the ends of the ages have come, so he who thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. That's a big, big thing with the flesh. We a lot of times say, well, you know, I'm all right, I'm good. Be careful how you think you're good, because the flesh could be lying to you. We got to follow after the Spirit and listen to what the Spirit tells us to do. Sometimes it may be out of us thinking of what we should be doing or shouldn't be doing. But we got to study it and make sure and listen to our leaders and do what they say. Because Yehovah has set us up with some incredible leaders to lead us in the right direction, not lead us astray. Remember, this is because He loves us. That's what He gives us His Torah for, because He loves us. This is love towards us. And again, the same way we talked about this morning when I first started, the commands were not just for a select few. It was for all of Israel. All the commands, all the rules was for all of Israel. And those who stepped out of it, it just said their examples for us today are not to follow and do what they did. You know, I don't know about that. Be careful how we think and how we assume and how we want to make ourselves feel good. Like I said, we make those bad mistakes when somebody might do something against us. If we take offense to it, we just as wrong. We all got to repent and get back underneath Yeshua. So Matot is Hebrew for tribes. And it's in the Torah, Numbers 30, verse 2 through 32, 42. And the half Torah is Jeremiah 2, 4 through 28, 4, 1 through 2. Tapsic and Porsha, Chapter 30 talks about vows, covenants versus contracts. Chapter 31 talks about vengeance. Ours are leaving things to Elohim. There's some things that the Moabites, that they did towards Israel, that wasn't to take it in their own hands. It was upon Jehovah's command when they were to do it. It wasn't supposed to take it upon themselves to take vengeance out on someone else. It's only according to his command. Chapter 32 is vulnerability due to division and discouragement. In this Torah portion, we see a clear picture how we're to relate to one another and love our neighbor, as this portion speaks to all the tribes and renders a clear guidance on the very words we speak both to Yehovah and to each other, as well as the clear responsibilities of sharing with each other and being able to stand and fight for one another. In the last Torah portion, we showed Pinchas. He stood for what is right. He didn't take it upon himself in his anger, but he did it for his love towards Yehovah to stop the plague that was going to come upon everybody because of bringing the whore and with the Moabites into the camp. That wasn't supposed to be into the camp. He did exactly what the Torah would have done. The Torah came against it and burned it up. Just like Nadab and Abihu, the same thing. He had to take vengeance on it. Pastor was talking about around the fire. We had a little Bible study. He said he didn't just go in there like most churches today and sit in the tent and tell an Israelite and tell the Moabite woman, hey, you know, we're going to sit down. I'm going to talk about things a little bit, you know. And just he went in there and he did what he was instructed to do, and he pierced them through to stop it from coming throughout the camp and destroying the camp. He did what Yehovah told him to do. It was instructed by the Torah. And that's how we got to be accountable towards one another. We can't be afraid. If Jehovah tells us to say something, don't be afraid to say it. And so, through the Torah portions, it's teaching us, and we got a lot to learn in it. Be accountable for one another. You know, it's everybody was in the camp. Everybody was abiding by the rule. There wasn't a select certain amount that was supposed to abide by the commands, and some didn't. You know, when you're in the congregation, and Yehovah tells us we need to do something like Shabbat, this is the seventh day, and we all say we agree, we vow to vow, but then you got some that still for some reason kind of in and out. It's kind of hard to walk together side by side and stride together because it's called trust. That's what Yehovah is doing with us, and us learning the Torah and obedience to it builds trust, that he can trust us. It's called trust. It's easy. You're to trust my wife whenever she says, I'm going to go a certain place and be back at a certain time. Well, if she don't show up, I'm going to call her up and check up on her. Where you at? I'm afraid that something might have happened to you. And if she don't answer her phone for a day or two, I begin to get worried because that's not like my wife to do something like that. But think about it. When Yehovah says, hey, you need to be here at a certain place a certain time because I love you. Well, if you're out there, when he said not to be out there, guess what? There's a lot of destruction. There's a lot of hurt and turmoil and stuff that's going to happen to us and swallow us up. And he loves us. That's what it's for. It's pure. It's unchangeable. His word changes not. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's eternal, and it never changes. And that's where he wants us to be. He wants us to get in that character and mind like Yeshua did, to be accountable for one another. This week's Torah portion is called Tribes, or the Tribes, which is written in the Hebrew text as Hamatoth, which is the plural of the root word Matah, Strong's H4294, which means a staff, a rod, a branch, a tribe, a branch of a vine, which comes from the primitive root verb Natah, Strong's H5186, which means to stretch out, spread out, extend, and incline. And this takes a lot of work and study. These Hebrew words. Because when I first started this Torah portion, I looked at it. And I said, I'm going to be standing there talking before everybody on Shabbat. This word matot, when I look it up in the blue letter, it says matah. I'm like, what's the difference? One says matah, one says matot. So it says right here, it says, which is written in the Hebrew text as hamatot, which is the plural. There's plural, there's nouns, there's verbs. One means a tribe or a branch, and it could be the tribes. So I was thinking back on one that I learned, tzav. There's a word tzav. Tzadi Vav is a righteous man connected. Vav is a connected peg. So as you go through these Torah portions, like Pictionary, you remember certain things. So I remember Tzav is a command. It's a command. And we got to these last Torah portions. We didn't get to them live. But at home, if we'd have done the whole Torah portion, we'd have read in there there's Tzavah and there's Tzavaoth. Tzavah is connected to its roots. Its roots. It's like when he says the vine, the branches, you know, it's symbolism and using that, but we are the tribes and we're branches of the Israelites, of those tribes. So when you get to Tzav, it's a command. Tzavah is one who's bringing out the command, going to war with the command, Tzavah. And then Tzavaoth is Yehovah of hosts. He's the one who's going ahead and bringing them out, and they're going to win the battle. So when you say Tzav, or Tzavah, or Tzavaoth, it's the Hebrew language that Yehovah spoke into existence. When he said, let there be light, it's incredible. It's more than just an English word. It's pretty incredible. In every letter, it has its gematria. It has a numeric value, it's a number, and a letter all in one. All in one. When you look up Dadi, Bob, when you look up Aleph, just one letter going into a word and they branch out. It's incredible. And so you think about that, how Yehovah just spoke it into existence with one word, and it was so many. It's like electricity. And I was talking about this last night when we went to Indiana, was going through Alabama after all the storms kind of subsided and started breaking up. It got dark. And all that was left was this incredible light show. It's like bouncing off the top of the clouds. It just was spreading like branches. It was a beautiful picture to see. And just makes you think about Yehovah when he spoke it into existence, everything that just went to happen when he said it. Because his word is pretty straightforward. It's tov. It's good. You know, we live in this flesh, and it's full of tov because we're learning and living it, but it's also full of ra. We learn tov and ra, good and evil. This phone, this smartphone, is full of tov and ra. And you can get on a bad path really quick if you go digging into the ra of it. It's the way that seems right to a man, but it's in his death. It's got a lot of stuff in there that's bad. So if we're not studying the Torah and living on a daily basis and get off track for a couple of days, it don't take long to go eyeing up something and get your eyes set on something else, just like the Israelites did with the Moabite women and got pulled away through trickery and deception. Not all of them went. Just the leaders, the ones that did go, they hung them up. In the last Torah portion, they hung them up and set them in front of the sun. That's what Yehovah said to do. So don't take long to get off track. Listen to the spirit of Yehovah when it starts to squeeze. But these Hebrew words are incredible. It's incredible. So when you see matot, now you see matah, go look at it when you're studying and you understand what he's saying in the different meanings in the Hebrew language. The word is for all the tribes, the branches of Yisrael, all who have spread out. And when we see the meaning of these words, we can quickly be reminded of the words of our master Yeshua. What Linda was speaking about today, we spoke about this last night in John 15:5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who stays in me. One of our Torah portions had that lighted up. Stays. Stay. 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 I don't care how rough it gets, what somebody did to you, what you said did. It doesn't matter. He says, stay in me. Who stays in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. You produce the character of Yehovah. You start looking like Yehovah through Yeshua, yoked up with him. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's the opposite. You can't let the flesh keep lying to us and saying, because the world and everything around us looks like it's okay, it's got a destructive, bad ending to it. It doesn't show right now, but it will come, because he promised and said it would do it. So when we go back and look in the Torah, what happened to all of those, I assure you, it's a reflection of what's going to happen in the end. In the last Torah portion, it talks about they were right there on the homeward stretch. And they veered off with their eyes on something else. Right there. Right there. And the same thing could happen to us. We can easily be deceived. Even those who think they stand could fall. We may think a little here, a little slack there, just a little. What is it? It says they rose up to play and lay around for a little while. Go ahead and relax in the toil for a little while. The world is pretty dark and ugly out there, and it don't take much for your flesh to say, you know, I really don't. It'll be okay today. And then Hasatan says, this is my opportunity, because that's how he comes. When he sees you milling around in your fleshly mind, and he comes on in and says, yeah, you really don't. You'll be all right. And he starts adding, which he's been doing it for years, thousands of years, more than the earth even existed years, he was there. If you go read and think that because I'm 48 years old, I can get something on him, I'm kidding myself. He's been around a long time. But Jehovah didn't leave us without instructions to overcome it. It's right there, right in front of us. And our flesh says, let's do a little bit of. It's all right to say, it's all right to do. And before you know it, you get sucked up into the tornado and you're gone. Don't take much. It says, because without me, you are able to do nothing. We veer away from the Torah and doing what he commands us to do, we can do nothing. And I'll still say it today. Every time I find myself on a spot, I say, please forgive me. Cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. Give me a clear, clean conscience for what I said or what I did, because without you, I could do nothing. I'm lost back there again. It brings me all the way back to the day he found me and went through the mantle and said, hey, let me show you a better way. So we just make it through, and it produces the character of Yehovah. And it's just like it did with Yeshua. Yeshua wasn't God. He's the Son of God. And that's how he learned, by everything he learned from a child growing up. This is not hard. This is easy. Religions and traditions of men make it hard, make it binding. This is not hard. Just put in the time and see what happens. You'll be excited about it. Says men and vows. I'm going to read chapter 30 of Numbers. Bamidbar, Numbers 30, verse 1. And Moshe spoke to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the word which Jehovah has commanded. When a man vows a vow to Jehovah, or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he does not break his word. He does according to all that comes out of his mouth. That's for the men. Women and vows. We got to get familiar with these. I had to read this over and over and over to get it clear in my mind, because I'm not used to this. We're used to the way the world sees it. And we got to break off of those habits and look at it the way Yehovah sees it. Or if a woman vows a vow to Yehovah, and get this, because it's an effeminate for the guys too, because when you are betrothed by Yeshua, you become the bride. That's a feminine side. There's a bridegroom and there's a bride. And this relates to what, this is so important to Torah to know this, is because it shows you what he did for us. And it's pretty, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So it says, or if a woman vows a vow to Yehovah and binds herself by some agreement while in her father's house in her youth, and her father hears her vow and the agreement by which she has bound herself, and her father has kept silent towards her, then all her vows shall stand, and every agreement which she has bound herself stands. But if her father forbids her on the day that he hears, then none of her vows nor her agreements by which she has bound herself stand. And Yehovah pardons her because her father has forbidden her. But if she at all belongs to a husband, while bound by her vows or by a rash utterance from her lips by which she bound herself, and her husband hears it, and he has kept silent towards her on the day that he hears, then her vows shall stand, and her agreements by which she bound herself do stand. But if her husband forbids her on the day that he hears it, then he has nullified her vow which she vowed, and the rash utterance of her lips by which she bound herself, and Yehovah pardons her. But any vow of a widow or divorced woman by which she has bound herself stands against her. And if she vowed in her husband's house or bound herself by an agreement with an oath, and her husband heard it and has kept silence towards her and did not forbid her, then all her vows shall stand, and every agreement by which she bound herself stands. But if her husband clearly nullified them on the day he heard them, then whatever came from her lips concerning her vows or concerning the agreement binding her, it does not stand. Her husband has nullified them, and Yehovah pardons her. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict her being, let her husband confirm it, or let her husband nullify it. But if her husband is altogether silent at her from day to day, then he confirms all her vows, or all the agreements that bind her. He confirms them. Because he kept silent towards her on the day that he heard. But if he nullifies them after he has heard, then he shall bear her crookedness. These are the laws or instructions which Yehovah commanded Moshe between a man and his wife, and between a father and his daughter, and her youth in her father's house. Vows and oaths. As we look at this chapter, we can certainly learn how important our words are, and we're therefore taught to watch what we say at all times, lest we find ourselves being caught or trapped by our idle and vain words, which we are to be responsible for. We went through all these slides last year, and I was reminded of them as I went through them. But today, maybe you can go through a bunch of these slides at home, but I'm going to skip on down to slide 88. While we're still fresh in the Torah portion of what we just read in chapter 30. It says, a husband, he has the right to nullify her vow or oath, especially if he sees that her oath or vow may endanger the home in any way. Because remember, this is what it's all about. If you know the Torah and you're abiding by it, what Yeshua says, and your children say something that's way out of line, it could be a vow, like a vow, you cast it out, and you're supposed to be the man of the house, or even the wife. So it says right here, especially if he sees that her oath or vow may endanger the home in any way. And so once again, clearly pictures for us the great responsibility that a man has over his household in protecting and guarding his wife and children in every way. And how is a husband supposed to do this if he doesn't even know what the Torah says? We got to have the instructions for the house. If he confirms her choice to afflict her being by being silent on the day that he hears it, then he acknowledges her choice as being within the clear lines of the Torah and accepts her vow or oath by which she binds herself. Verse 15. If the husband nullifies the vow or oath after he has heard, he shall bear her crookedness. The word used for after in the Hebrew is achar. Strong's H3100, meaning the hind, the part, following part, after, afterwards, behind, following. And its primitive form means to remain, behind, tarry, delay, or linger. What we see here is that this verse is speaking of when a husband nullifies the oath or vow only after having delayed making the decision, then he bears her crookedness. So you get that? If you see it, or hear it, you're supposed to immediately act on it. But if you wait a day or prolong a day or two, it says, when he kept quiet and he heard and he afters perhaps a day or so later, says, no, you're not allowed to do that, then he must bear the crookedness because you should have done it right away. This is the price a husband pays for not doing anything immediately after hearing a foolish or rash vow or agreement that his wife has made. This is a powerful picture for us of our husband and Savior, see, Yeshua Messiah, who bore our crookednesses, for he kept silent. It says in Isaiah 53:7, and see, you wouldn't know this if you don't know the Torah. If you don't know anything about the vows, you wouldn't understand what he's talking about when he gets to this part. It says Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, but he did not open his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, but he did not open his mouth. Isaiah 53:11. He would see the result of the suffering of his life and be satisfied. Through his knowledge, my righteous servant makes many righteous, and he bears their crookednesses. Do you see what the Torah was coming to destroy us with? He bore it by not speaking, by not saying, being silent. Watch, let me show you. Yeshua Messiah certainly nullified the oaths that our forefathers made to all the pagan mighty ones which they worshipped. Yet since the day had already passed, he had to bear the crookednesses of the bride he loves. That's his love towards us. In Mark 15:15, but Yeshua still gave no answer, so that Pilate marveled. In 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his body on the timber, so that we, having died to sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Everything that the Torah was coming against us and destroying us with, he took it upon himself and condemned it in the flesh. So now we're no longer are going to be destroyed, but we have life now. We can have life under Yeshua as our husband. He says, who himself bore our sins in his body on the timber, so that we, having died to sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Yeshua, our husband, had the authority to nullify our rash vows and our oaths that was coming against us. Our husband, Yeshua Messiah, had to and does bear our crookednesses, that we may be pardoned and restored to right standing in him. We ought to therefore take very careful care of the words we speak, lest we nullify his work over us. So the same thing for our wives to us, we under Yeshua as wives unto him. Do you see the picture? That we may be pardoned and restored to right standing in him. We ought to therefore take very careful care of the words we speak, lest we nullify his work over us, by making rash vows and oaths and sinning after having received the knowledge of the truth. It's like a dog going back to his own vomit. Why would I want to go back there again? And the destruction of the Torah all on me and my family is not the way out. It's a way to destruction. He says, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, for then by our adulterous acts we may just be put away, where there is no more sacrifice left for us. And as we have seen, a divorced woman's words by which she binds herself stands against her. A divorced woman has no husband to defend her. She's on her own. We were divorced. Israel was divorced on their own. Then Yeshua come. And he kept silent purposely. So he took it upon himself. He bore it. And that lines up what it says in the Torah in Numbers chapter 30. Hebrews 10:26-27. For if we sin purposely after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a slaughter offering for sins, but some fearsome anticipation of judgment and a fierce fire which is about to consume its opponents. When they chose to go with the women of Moab, with the Moabites, they chose to go back with the Torah coming against them and destroy them. And guess what? It did. And in this Torah portion, we're going to see Balaam, he still stayed at in between. There, look, we got to straighten this up. We got to quit listening to our flesh. There is no in between. Every time they veered off just a little bit with the flesh, it puts you on Ra. It puts you on the evil side. It's a trickery. It's a lie. It leads you astray. He said money will lead you astray. What happened to Elisha when he was called? He threw it all away. He burned it all up. I don't want one little thing while I'm following behind my Messiah or the one I'm following behind to be a prick to my eyes and a thorn to my side. That's what it's going to say in this Torah portion. When you get into reading it, it says you got to leave it all behind. You can't leave nothing. You can't leave no crack in the door. Just a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Just a little bit of the flesh, you keep letting it peek in, peek in, peek in. What happened to those guys with the Moabites, those leaders? And it was a more serious judgment upon them because they were leaders. They were carrying people. A lot of people are following. And that's why they were put to judgment so harshly. They were hung in front of the sun. And so that's what we got to think about today. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. It's okay. It can be a thorn in our side and a prick to our eyes. And we're on the last homeward stretch. And we give up. We quit. We turn around. We get afraid. And we get out of the basement and the tornado takes us away. And you see it over and over and time again. And so this right here this morning brought me over to Yeshua's words in John 17, 1 through 26. Yeshua said these words and lifted up his eyes to the heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Esteem your son so that your son also might esteem you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give everlasting life to all whom you have given him. And this is everlasting life, that they should know you, the only true Elohim, and Yeshua Messiah, whom you have sent. I have esteemed you on earth, having accomplished the work you have given me that I should do. And now esteem me with yourself, Father, with the esteem which I had with you before the world was. What you said, I have revealed your name, Jehovah, to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they guarded your word. Now they have come to know that all you gave to me is from you. Because the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and have truly known that I came forth from you. And they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those who you have given me. For they are yours, all are mine, and yours are mine, and I have been esteemed in them. And I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, set apart. Kadosh, Father, guard them. Shemar, guard them in your name, Yehovah, which you have given me, Yeshua, so that they might be one as we are. When I was with them in the world, I was guarding them in your name, which you've given me. And I watched over them, and not one of them has perished except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to you, and I speak these words in the world so that they have my joy completed in them. I've given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of this world, as I'm not of this world. I do not pray that you should take them out of this world, but that you keep them from the wicked ones. They are not of the world, as I'm not of the world. Set them apart in your truth and your Torah. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. And for them, I set myself apart so that they too might be set apart in truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those believing in me through their word. Remember, you hold the light of life so that they all might be one as you are. Father, as you are, Father, are in me, and I in you, so that they too might be one in us, so that the world might believe that you have sent me, and the esteem which you gave me I have given them, so that they might be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they might be perfected into one, so that the world knows that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those who you have given me might be with me where I am, so that they see my esteem which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, indeed, the world did not know you, but I knew you, and these knew that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them and shall make it known, so that the love in which you love me might be in them and I in them. In chapter 18, 1 through 5, the very next chapter over, having said these words, Yeshua went out with his taught ones beyond the Kidron torrent, where there was a garden into which he and his taught ones entered. And Yehuda, who delivered him up, also knew the place, because Yeshua often met there with his taught ones. Yehuda then, having received the company of soldiers and officers with the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches, weapons. And Yeshua then, knowing all that would come upon him, If there was ever a time to turn around from a vow, this is it. He knew all was fixing to happen to him. And if we know that, which he did for us, that we might live, how dare us say that this is a little hard for me? To me, it's a little hard for me. How can I change my schedule? What is my boss going to say about my employment here? What is this one going to say? What is that one going to say? Elisha left it all. He didn't care what he had. He knew he had to go. Yeshua left it all. His disciples ended up leaving it all. They had some tough times, but they learned. If we don't get this right, we're not going to make it. We got to get this right. Either Jehovah is guarding and leading my life and is my covering, or I am. That's the problem. I am. I'm not in a spot where I'm supposed to be because of me. I'm afraid. Only the flesh makes you afraid. What are you afraid of? Yeshua and the boy said, what are you afraid of? You're too much into the flesh. The flesh is leading you in the wrong way. You got to be led by my spirit. That's what he said. He says, they come here with torches and weapons, and Yeshua, then knowing all that was about to come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom do you seek? And they answered him, Yeshua of Nazareth. And Yeshua said to them, I am. And Yehuda, who delivered him up, was also standing with him. And I don't need to go to the rest. You should know the rest. And if you don't, go read the rest. He fulfilled everything that he was asked of his father. And he didn't do it because it was a rule. We got to get that understood here. I don't come here because it's a rule Shabbat. I come here because I love my father. And he said, this is the best for you. And you're the light of the world. You're the light in the world. When you go out there, you need to represent to bring them out what you was in. I was in destruction. I wasn't going to come back. And it gets to be a lonely place. Yes, it does. Because if we stay too long and those who are in the world, we're going to act and be just like them. Don't kid ourselves. The pastor always said, you go swim with the fish, don't think you won't get slime on you, because you're going to get slime on you after a while. Go swim with the fish. Stay with them long enough. You see, you're going to act like them. You're going to talk like them. Even though you want to keep coming and acting and being like Yeshua, you stay with one long enough, you're going to be acting and doing just as they do. That's why we got to have Shabbat. And that's why we got to stay day and night. Night and day. I need a napkin. Because in the world, without him and without his word, he's telling us to do, you won't last long. You'll go right, revert right back to what feels good. Your flesh wants to feel good. We talked about, I got cats at my house. We talked about that too. Pastor, when you pet those cats, they just love to feel good. That's what the flesh loves, to just feel good. It has no idea where it's going. Tickle the ear. That's what I want to hear. I want to feel good. Oh, we just all have agape love. We all just love one another. Oh, it's all love. I'll tell you what, that day that Pinchas went in there, it was a love, but it was, we've got to stop this thing right here. There was a very bold, what's that word they used in there? There's a word that he talked about, the zeal. It's a zeal. There's a zeal for Yehovah. You don't care what everybody else is doing, what they're doing. I'm going to stay to it. This is what I'm going to do. 6 days. And on the sixth day, you prepare. And on the seventh day is Shabbat. You should do no work. Why? Because you're clearing your mind and spending it with him. You're going to prepare for the next week. Just a little bit of okay. You won't be there long. You're going to let that seed grow. And it's going to convince you to go the other way. You're going to jump right out into the tornado, out the basement. You're going to be gone. And we pray in the name of Jehovah, in the name of Yeshua, that those who went out will come back. We'll keep praying for them. That's what we ain't counting nobody out. We're going to keep praying for them. I thank you, Father, for giving them eyes to see, ears to hear, levav, hearts and minds to know. The lies of the enemy and the lust of the flesh. So Yeshua kept silent, and you'll see it clearly when you read the Torah, then you read Isaiah, and you read what he did, what he said, and he fulfilled it. He did it for us. that we can be clean, that our conscience, when we say, Father, give me a clear, clean conscience, you believe that it happens. And you keep working on that. Every time you got a little error in the flesh, that we have a habit of still from the world that we came from, that we learned from our fathers, think about it. We learn the wrong through our fathers, and our minds make us think that that's the right way, and it's not the right way. And we learn the Torah, and we practice it and live it. It turns our mind to the right way, and then you'll see that that's wrong and this is right. And it makes you very, very secure in it because he's my covering, and I know I'm secure in it, and you won't be afraid. You'd be like Yeshua laying in a boat when something comes along because you know in the right place, right time. That's why I pray a lot to the Father. It's like, you know, there's a lot of places I could go and a lot of things I could do. But I say, Father, it might seem right to me, but I don't want to go unless you tell me it's all right to go. I want to know where to go, when to do it, and how to do it. Just give me the strength and the power to do it. A lot of times I'm doing these studies and it seems like much, but I discipline myself and I push. Some tiresome evenings, mornings, and then before you know it, you're like, whoa, look at this. And it makes you want to dig more, and you find yourself changing, and it's exciting. It really is. It gets addictive, and it's a good thing. And the next part is going to be vengeance on Midian. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, take vengeance for the children of Israel. I'm not going to get into this, but that was the very next thing that happened. Take vengeance for the children of Israel and the Midianites. After that, you are to be gathered to your people. And maybe we'll get into that on Wednesday. I'm not going to get into it today because that's a lot to talk about. But we'll go back on slide 17 on vials and oats since we have a little bit of time. So now you know what your Savior did for you. You know what your Messiah did, what our Messiah did for us. And keep those scriptures in mind. Do that for homework. Read it the rest of the day. Think about what he went through. And it was he's thinking about it the whole time. I got to go through this. And think about the little things that we take for granted, thinking it's so big that I got to change something. Really? Really? Change it. You might be surprised. You have shalom. You have peace. Peace in your heart, peace in your mind. You won't be afraid and worried and troubled. You know why you get fearful and worried and troubled? Because you're in control of it. And it's okay as long as things are going smooth. You know, we can get businesses and we can build things really big and do certain things and do it on our own terms. If we do it on our own terms and something happens to it, it's tragic. What happened? Because it was all we built on. He said, if you build it on the sand, when the storm comes, if it's not built on the Torah or the rock, it's going to be washed away. And bad and hard is the fall because it breaks our hearts. He said, don't give in to money. He says, give in to the Torah, what's going to be happening in the millennial, because that's where we're going. Things in this world is gone. This is over with for those who are believers following Yeshua, but we're there to pull others out that are lost. The lost tribes of Israel and the foreign and the sojourner alike, just like the Moabite woman, Ruth. Was it Ruth? Not Ruth, it was Ruth. She was a Moabite. Ruth was a Moabite. She was one of those foreigners and sojourners. Think about that. We just learned about the Moabites. Those Moabite women. You know, what happened to them and all that. And we get into this next Torah portion. It's going to be talking about when they went and took over all that area. They brought the women. And they said, didn't you not learn from the other ones and bringing all the women back? So they destroyed all the women except the children. The Moabite children, girls, they saved who did not know a man. So think about that. Those come in and they get converted. Then we come down the line, we talk about a Moabite woman, Ruth. So it gets incredible. We can't just think about the lost tribes of Israel. We also think about the foreign and sojourner alike, all of them. As we look at this chapter, we can certainly learn how important our words are. And we are therefore taught to watch what we say at all times, lest we find ourselves being caught or trapped by our idle and vain words, which we are to be responsible for. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. The flesh is always revving to say something, but we might not want to say that because it comes right back at us to haunt us when we say something we're not supposed to say. And this is relating to vows, but it also relates to any and every word that we say. It says in this verse we see some very critical words that we must understand from a Hebraic perspective in order to fully grasp the importance of the words we speak. It starts off by telling us that when a man makes a vow or swears an oath, he must not break it. The two Hebrew words for vow and oath are as follows. Vow in Hebrew. The word that is translated as vow is neder. Neder, Strong's H5088, which means vow. Just one word, vow. And the phrase to make a vow in Hebrew is the word nadar. H5087. And therefore, to nadar, a neder, is to swear to Elohim with an oath, and therefore bind oneself with what proceeds from one's mouth. A neder is something promised to Elohim verbally. Anyone makes a vow is obliged to fulfill, to do a promise. When I went before Pastor Jess in the congregation, and I said, I swear I do, as a pastor, a minister, I didn't do that to them. I did that unto Yehovah. And so if it gets rough and tough along the way, there ain't no backing out. It was a permanent sealed deal unto Yehovah. So I could run to the ends of the earth and try and hide and say I'm this or I'm that. You can't hide from Yehovah. And you can't hide from the cause and effect that's going to come upon you because you choose to break your vow. You know, today in relationships and engagements in the world, it's all right to just go in and break them and do them and break them because it's what I like and what I don't like. Be careful what you learn in the world because it's very destructive. When he says it, it's a done deal. It's sealed. And that's what he said to us. There's a promise I'm giving to you. It's a done deal. If you do this, this is where you end up. In Scripture, a vow is always to Elohim and not to a man. What you've done to the least of these, he says, you've done it unto who? Unto me. So be careful when you're speaking to somebody, your words that you think is so impressive because you want to feel good. You're saying it to Yehovah. That's what we're doing. We're saying it to him. Rather, we don't see him face to face when we're speaking it because of the person that we're so upset with. We're saying it to Yehovah. It says, and the understanding behind a vow carries the meaning to bind or imprison or to dedicate a specific object or creature to Yehovah. In Psalm 61:8, so I sing praise to your name forever when I pay my vows day by day. What you're saying, what you're singing is like a vow. It says Psalm 116, verse 14, I pay my vows to Yehovah now in the presence of all his people. Because what we're saying and doing, we're connected to the body. Talked about that last night. When I say I do something wrong, I don't only affect me or my family. I affect everybody in this room, all the body. Ephraim, Manasseh, Yehuda, all across the earth today, I just affected all the body of Messiah. And I repent and ask for forgiveness to please not affect any of the body of Messiah. It's all connected. It's all the branches. But I offer to you, in Jonah 2:9, Yonah, but I offer to you with the voice of thanksgiving, and I pay what I have vowed. Deliverance is of Yehovah. In Matthew 5:33, again, you heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to Yehovah. This can also cause us to recognize that we must be true to the words of our mouth as we do what we say we will, in offering up the commitment to follow Messiah and walk in him daily. Daily. Oath. In Hebrew, the word that is translated as oath is Shabua, Strong's H7621, which means an oath, a curse, a swear, a sworn. And it comes from the root word Shaba. Shaba. Strong's H7651, meaning seven. And from this word, we get the denominative verb Shaba. H7650, which means to swear, exchange oaths, take an oath, or vow. An oath is typically an obligation taken upon yourself rather than that which is imposed upon you. To swear in Scripture, which is also the root word Shaba, and you see that B underlined in the letter Beit, in the letter itself, if there's a dot in there, it's pronounced ba. If the dot's not there, it's pronounced va. So remember that. So when you see that word right there to the left, you see it, shin, bat, and ayin. You see the bat right there, there's no dot there. So it's underlined to say va. So it's shava, shava. Swear, shava, was to give one sure and promised unbreakable word and testimony that the one swearing would faithfully perform some promised deed or that he would faithfully refrain from some evil act. You know, the other word comes to mind when we say amen. That means I agree with you. What I'm doing, what you're doing, we're agreeing on the same thing. Amen. Amen's not just little, yeah, okay, ha, huh, all right. Amen means I agree in Hebrew. So be careful what you say amen to. Maybe it might not be something that the preacher might be saying at the pulpit that lines up with the Torah. You might not want to say amen. You might want to say, oh me, oh my. I'm not saying amen to that. Got to be careful with our words. Our words are fire. And they can consume, and they can burn up, or they can give life. Remember, we're supposed to be made in Yehovah's image and his likeness. We're just a messed up, torn up, dying part that's supposed to be brought back to life and say what he says and do what he says. Occasionally we see in Scripture that the one swore that they freely acknowledge the truth and will continue to acknowledge it in the future by sticking to what they heard. In Hebrew, when one promises to complete something, it is considered as done. It's done. And the word that one had promised could be depended upon, and that which was said would be accomplished. This is vital for us to grasp as we see in the word, on the world, in the world today, how so many break their word so easily and brush it off without any regard for the consequences of making rash promises and vows. That's why Yeshua was so strong and powerful to stand how he stood, because he knew it, he lived it, he spoke it, and it was his character of his Father, and he made it through. If we're not practicing to do what the Torah says on a daily basis, we're going to be wishy-washy and back out of our vows, and we're going to be in a lot of trouble. Don't vow a vow and break it. It's very destructive to do that. We are to recognize is that the one we make a promise to is, in a sense, incomplete until we fulfill the vow. And so too are we, as we have, by our words, bound ourselves to another and therefore required to follow through, or else we are rendered as not having completed our work as incomplete. You know, I do taxidermy work and I got a couple of ducks left, and I promise, I made a vow to people and I said, I will have your bird done. And ain't no get busy during the year and all of a sudden, you know what, they're just going to have to understand that I'm busy. No, I made a vow. I told people I was going to do something. So rather it gets tough and rough, it's going to be completed and done at a certain time. It's going to get done. Don't tell somebody you're going to go cut their grass or do something and then you don't show up for a while because they lose their trust in you. When we all together as a congregation, we say Shabbat and you're not showing up for a long period of time, it kind of loses that trust. So you just got to be careful. Watch what we say, watch what we do, watch perform. We agree with each other and say, yes, amen, we will do, because he's going to hold us to it. That's about as far as I'm going to get in these slides. We're going to just stop right there. So, we're not going to continue on with a midrash or anything like that that I know of. I wasn't told or asked to, but we should be disciplined enough at home to study, do the rest of this Torah portion. There's a lot more slides. There's over 200 slides here in this Torah portion. And just go over the, you know, numbers, chapter 30 all the way through 36. And then you start going through the slides, you start relating to what you just read. That's what we do. We read the Torah portion. Then we go through the slides and the commentaries and relate it to our lives where we need to make some adjustments with our flesh. Remember, it's for our own good because he loves us. All right, we'll just continue to pray and thank the Father for those who are in their travels. And get ready to see everybody again on Wednesday night as we continue throughout this Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom.